بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونشكره ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد جزا الله أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. First of all, in reality I'm not fit to sit here and give a talk when we have got pious people here, ulama, who can give us great, much more knowledge we have got. But make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the right words on my tongue. Make our gathering an accepted gathering. Make it a means of hidayat for ourselves and for the whole of Ummah till the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan in this dunya for a very short time period. And this time period is going to come to an end. Person has come in this dunya with empty hands and is going to go back from the dunya with empty hands. What will go with him is iman and amal salihah. And also the iman, alhamdulillah, we have got, but the amal salih, it has got to be protected also, so that the person can become successful in life hereafter. This life of the dunya is a very temporary life, and everybody realizes that we believe in life and death. The kuffar also believe in life and death, but we as Muslims, we believe in death and life. Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulku wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayat. The maut comes first and hayat comes afterwards. The first thing a person has got to do, if there is life after death, then there must be some preparation for that life so that a person can become successful in the life hereafter. To have iman, alhamdulillah, is a fazal and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To die with that iman is not in our hands. If at the time of maut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with us, and if he has to withhold that iman from us, then we know the person is going to be in destruction in life hereafter also. So that's why it is so important to realize this reality, to see that how this iman can be protected. That's why you find we have come in these gatherings, to see how we can get ourselves benefited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, and Allah Pak has created malaika also, and Allah Pak has created jinnat also. Malaika has been created from light. Their maqsad of life is just obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They haven't got the quality of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. All the time they are in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain malaikas that are holding the throne of Allah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain malaika that are in ruku all the time, till the day of Qiyamah, they'll be in that position also there. There are certain malaika that will be in sijda all the times, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala position. There are other malaika that is in a state of qiyam, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are malaika that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose duty is to be in a fire of Jahannam, to punish those people in a fire of Jahannam also. Allah Pak hasn't kept raham in their hearts. They haven't got any feeling at all also. They only obey the command of Allah. Allah has told us we must punish, be punished, finished. So they've got the quality of obedience in their hearts also. Allah Pak has created this other insan, the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom has been created with desire, and this desire, their life is only desire. You find that any animal for that matter, if your animal, if you have got a cow that come and graze in my yard, and you find that we cannot make a court case against that cow. If your sheep comes and commit adultery with my sheep, so there's no court cases regarding this, because there's no questioning for them at all. So you find that insan, Allah Pak has created ashraful makhlukat. We are the best of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah has taken the quality of itaat from the malaika, and Allah has taken the quality of the desire from the animal kingdom, and to put it two together, and Allah has created this insan also. Now this insan in this dunya has got to lead such a life that those people will bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those people who will suppress their desires to fulfill the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will become successful. The person who does not suppress that desire, you find that he will become unsuccessful also. That's why you have got to understand what is this nafs and what is this desire. Allah Pak speaks in the Quran also. How many pages ulama are here? Nafs amara, nafs lawama, nafs mutma'inna. These are the nafs, different stages of insan's nafs also. Nafs we have got to understand is the hukam of Allah. Nafs is actually the human desire that is in a person's heart. And you find ruh is a hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ruh, because it is from hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it always wants to be obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why Allah Pak, when He created this negative and positive, if the nafs overpowers our ruh, then you find that person's life is only nafsaniyat. And on the other hand, when a person suppresses his desire and brings his ruh controlling his nafs, then his life is going to become according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we got to understand this nafs also. To understand nafs in a simple way is like if a person has got a horse, and you find that a person has got his horse, you have bought it, and it's very, very wild also. The moment you want to ride it, he throws you down. Person who wants to bring it under control, very difficult also there. So person thinks, I bought this, I spent so much of money, what must I do to bring this horse under control? A person says, let me put some weight. You put a bag over the horse, on the side you put some stones, any heavy weight, and see if the horse can slow down. Once the horse can slow down, then inshallah, you can have a nice comfortable journey with the horse also there. But you find that after putting the weights also there, you find the horse is still as powerful. And it's called lot of strength still in himself also there. Then what the next person, what a person must do is that, try and see that how I can decrease his food. Give him little bit more less food, little bit less food, little bit less food. So once the weight from the outside, and now weakness from inside because the stomach is now left less, so automatically that horse is going to succumb to yourself. So once a person is on this line, immediately now you are going to reach your destination as you want to reach it. You can use that body of yours to take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very simple also, the nafs we have got to understand is like this nafs and ruh. That if a person is married, you got a child there, when the child has been growing up, then you find the child is now just became a, the mother is sitting on the one side here, the father is sitting on the one side here. The father says, better come to me. The mother says, better come to me. Where the child is going to go? Definitely first, the child is going towards the mother. Because the child gave birth to the child. The mother feeds the child. The mother bathes the child. The mother looks after the child. So the tendency of the child towards the mother is greater than towards the father. Because naturally the tendency of going. Insan, Allah Pak has created this nafs, this desire of a person, insan himself. Allah has created it from sin, and the tendency of us going towards sin is greater. So the attraction of the dunya things is naturally great in a person's heart also. So when a person has got to sacrifice that dunya of yours, not to set off this way, but see what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use that dunya according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will find that a person will try to bring that nafs under his control also. So you find once a child, afterwards you find when the father is making effort, and slowly the direction turns, now the child, you start giving the child something sweets, your child giving the child something else. Now when the child starts coming towards the father, now you find that the direction has turned of the child also. Exactly in the same way also effort has got to bring that how can this ruh of a person, our powers, our desires also. That's why you find Allah Pak is greater in this dunya also. So you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah Pak created all the souls in Alame Arwah, the first question Allah Pak asked them, Allah tabarak bikum, that who is your Rabb? Who is that being who created you, who sustains you, who protects you, who guides you, who makes you rich, who makes you poor, will bring conditions on you, good or bad, who has given you life, and who's going to give you death. Every soul at that time has said, Kalu Bala, definitely Allah, you are the troubles. A person goes in his qabr, and the first question that is going to be asked for him is, Mar Rabbukum, that who is that Rabb? Who is that being who has created you, sustained you, protect you? Then immediately to answer that question, Allah Pak has given us Salat. That's why Salat is a great ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is not only Salat. Salat, that's why you'll find when a person performs his Salat, first thing is, you see that word Rabb, you've got to understand it to get the meaning in a person's heart. When a person performs his Salat, and you say Allahu Akbar and you start your Salat, what is Allahu Akbar? In reality, Allahu Akbar means that Allah's mercy definitely is all the time there. But you are attracting a special rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That my focus is now directly only towards you. So that Allah's mercy must be there. The consciousness and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be in front of you. When a person says Allahu Akbar, that means you're calling the special mercy of Allah to be on you. When a person starts your surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillah, first you read Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah. Why all praises to Allah? Alhamdulillah, Rabb, the word came again there, Rabbil Alameen, you are our Rabb. When a person performs his first rakah, when he goes into ruku, what we read again there? Subhana, Rabbi al Azim. What that word Rabb again is there. You're going to repeat that word Rabb, that Rakikat. You are my Rabb and I'm your Abd, you are my Rabb and I'm your Abd. When a person gets up, Sami Allahu liman hamida, again you're repeating that word Rabbana, Rabbana lakal hamdat. Rabb is again been mentioned again. When a person goes into Sijda and you see you perform your Sijda and it's Subhana Rabbi again Allah, Subhana, that word Rabb has been repeated. So a person who performs with consciousness and performing that namaz by repeating that word that you are my Rabb, and I'm your abd, you are my creator and I'm your slave. So then you find when a person will die, he'll be able to answer the first question in the Kabbalah also. And if a person doesn't answer to perform Salat, how is he going to answer that first question? That's why Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Salat is like a head in a body. A person cuts your hand off, there's no life, the person is still alive. A person cuts his leg off, he's still alive. The person cuts your neck off, are you still alive? There's no deen in a person's life. So Salat is such a great ibadat, a person has got to see that a person must become istiqamat on his Salat also. Salat is not only Salat, there are different stages in Salat also. An insan has got to see that our Salat has been done in proper in such a way that Allah Pak becomes happy with our Salat. There are 6-7 stages in Salat, which a person has got to try and see how we can improve from one stage to the other stage also there. It is when a person performs his Salat, the first stage of Salat is that a person must be stay away from haram things and wrong things. It must protect you. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That Salat must protect you from things that is shameful and harmful. If the Salat doesn't protect us from shameful things and harmful things, then we have just performed up and down. Salat hasn't benefited that at all. So that Salat must be seen that how a person can become a Salat. Next stage of a person's Salat becomes when a person, it prevents you of relation things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when a person is getting enjoyment in his Salat, and it comes to a point where you find that your mind is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which our Hazrat Daman Barakatuh always mentioned, that perform Salat in such a way that either Allah sees you or you seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we know we are so weak, we cannot see Allah, but at least have that consciousness that Allah is watching us. So that prevention of relation besides anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is a person mustn't become negligent. The third stage of a person's life is that a person must become akhirat, unmindful about akhirat also. All the time a person must have the concern and fikr about akhirat, that tomorrow if I have to pass, tomorrow I have to stand in front of Allah, what is going to happen? How am I going to sort of understand? That concern and fikr of akhirat must be all the time in a person's heart. When a person performs his Salat in that way, that you find that stage will come where a person will become always reminding about akhirat also. Then at next stage when a person comes, you find Allah gives him the strength and tawfiq of looking, controlling your gaze, that your mind don't want to look at anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to become displeased with this. Anything that is haram for us to look at it. That's why Hazrat Dawan Barakatuh always mentions us that to control our tongues, control our eyes, control our ears. It's for this reason that how our salat can reach that level where the salat will bring us that consciousness that I mustn't look at Allah. But Allah is watching me. How can I commit a sin? If I go to a supermarket, I want to take one chocolate and put it in my pocket, I'll be eating it afterwards, it's going to be haram for me. But if a person has got a consciousness and a presence of Allah, that you're controlling your gaze, you find that how Allah is watching me, how can you sort of, the consciousness in there. A woman is outside there, as Hazrat Dawan Barakatuh mentions, that we mustn't look at the woman. Why? I mean, if her gaze do fall, just lower your gaze. This is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story you find that when a person comes in your namaz, your stage will come when a person is bringing control of your gazes towards the under control. Then you find a person's mind eventually will come to find that Allah Pak slowly will open up reality for about the akhirat also. What is the akhirat? What is hisab kitab? What is pul sirat? What is jannat? What is jahannam? The haqiqat must open up for yourself. That concern and fikr will all the time be reality in such a. And then a person comes to a final stage when he's in his namaz, where you find that he's like in mi'raj, complete communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The enjoyment and the feeling a person will get in that stage, it is only those people who has experienced it that they will be able to see what it is. So this is a, effort has got to mean in that right direction, where a person can from stages to stages come to a point where this haqiqat and reality of salat can come in a person's heart also. That's why it is very, very necessary for us to perform our salat also 5 times a day. And at the same time also, you find that a person must see that a person improves the level of his salat, his concentration is salat. How can he get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also very important is that, as I say, the protection of our amal. To amal, alhamdulillah, is not difficult. To Allah gives great, great reward for small, small little act. But to protect that amal. That's why Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba Ikram Ridwan Ajma'in, Mafum, that who is a poor person? Sahaba, Ya Rasulullah Sam, a person hasn't got a house to stay with, a person hasn't got proper food to eat with, a person hasn't got any property to cover himself also there. He's a person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to know. A person is a poor person who on the day of Qiyamah will come with good deeds as mount, as great as Mount Uhud. And so much of good deeds he has got. But because he was backbiting, because he was slandering, he was looking down upon people, he was doing down with people, he wasn't paying people their debts or anything of that sort, or he harmed somebody, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak, that person supposed to go to Jannat, Allah say, call him back, come make hisab kitab with the people. So the hukukul ibad plays a great part in these things also. When a person doesn't fulfill those hukukul ibad, then you find that all your goods will be transferred to those people who have been. And their sins will be transferred onto that. And that person supposed to go to Jannat now goes to Jahannam. And the person who's supposed to go to Jahannam now goes to Jannat. So Allah give us a tawfiq of protecting our amals also. That's why in Hazrat's program you always hear that control ourselves. Stay away from controlling stay from misusing our tongues also. That's why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mentioned this hadith also. Do not speak much besides zikrullah. Because abundance of speech hardens the heart, and a heart that is hard is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why you find it is so necessary that a person must try and see that how we can soften our hearts. The only thing that can soften a person's heart is zikrullah. That's why the zikrullah which Hazrat has given us to do, shall we must try and become paban with it, try and do it with concentration and devotion. I mentioned last week also that how zikr must be made, that the sign of the zikr of the kalima la ilaha illa come into a person's heart is when one drop of tear comes of a person's eye, it is not that little bit of nur entering into the heart. I mentioned last time also last week that the distance from here to the moon is not very far. It looks so very far. Distance from the tongue to the heart is so near. But to get the kalima from the tongue into the heart is much more difficult than to travel from here to the moon. That's why this mujahida and effort has got to be made that how this haqiqat of this kalima can enter into our hearts. Once the heart becomes nuraniyat, then a person's life will be changed. Naturally, when a person's heart is black, a person's heart is dark, you do not realize whether he's in right or wrong also. You cannot see what is right and wrong. How a person check whether his heart is black or not? My mother, when small, used to teach us always small recitations also there. કે રાતનો હું રાજા છું, રાત ભરી હું જાગું છું, ભરોસામાં જાઉં છું, જે મળે તે ખાઉં છું, આમ જામ તેમ જામ વીરી દેશી નાસી જાઉં. ઇટ ઇઝ અ પોમ રિગાર્ડિંગ અ માઇસ. રાતનો હું રાજા છું. માઇસ ઇઝ અ કિંગ ઓફ ધ નાઇટ બીકોઝ હી ઓનલી કમ્સ આઉટ એટ નાઇટ વેન એવરીથિંગ ઇઝ ડાર્ક. નાઉ હી કમ્સ આઉટ નાઇસ. આઈ એમ ધ કિંગ ઓફ ધ નાઇટ. રાતનો હું રાજા છું. રાત હોલ નાઇટ આઈ સ્કીપ માય સેલ્ફ. રાત ભરી હું જાગું છું, ભરોસામાં જાઉં છું. આઈ ગો એવરી વેર, યર ડેટ એવરી ડે. જે મળે તે ખાઉં છું. વોટ એવર આઈ ગેટ આઈ ઇટ. આઈ જસ્ટ ઇટ. નો બડી ઇઝ ડેટ ટુ સ્ટોપ મી. વોટ એવર ઇટ ઇઝ, નથિંગ હલાલ હરામ, નથિંગ ઇઝ સોશિયલ. જે મળે છે આમ જામ. આઈ ગો ધીસ સાઈડ, આઈ ગો આઉટ ધેર ધેટ સાઈડ. એન્ડ નેક્સ્ટ મિનિટ યુ સી સમબડી પુટ્સ અ લાઇટ ઓન એન્ડ સી હાઉ હી રન્સ અવે. નાઉ નાઉ હી રન્સ અવે. વાય હી રન્સ અવે? બીકોઝ લાઇટ હેઝ કમ ઇન સાઈડ. વલ્લાહ, વેન અ પર્સન્સ હાર્ટ ઇઝ ડાર્ક, હી ડુ નોટ રિયલાઇઝ વોટ ઇઝ રાઇટ એન્ડ વોટ ઇઝ રોંગ. હી ઇઝ કમિટિંગ લોટ ઓફ ગુનાસ વિધાઉટ રિયલાઇઝિંગ. બટ વલ્લાહ, વેન ધ રિયાલિટી ઓફ ધ કલેમા એન્ટર્સ અ પર્સન્સ હાર્ટ એન્ડ યુ ફાઇન્ડ વેન ધ નુઅર ઓફ ધિસ કલેમા કમ ઇન અ પર્સન્સ હાર્ટ, દેન યુ ફાઇન્ડ દેટ યુલ બી એબલ ટુ સી, ઓ આઈ વોઝ ડુઇંગ ધીસ થિંગ રોંગ, આઈ વોઝ ડુઇંગ ધીસ થિંગ રોંગ, આઈ મસ્ટ મેક તોબા ઇસ્તિગફાર, આઈ મસ્ટ ચેન્જ માય લાઇફ, આઈ મસ્ટ ડુ ધીસ થિંગ્સ. ધ રિયાલિટેશન વિલ કમ ઇન અ પર્સન. Give one example. There was one person, a black person, he was 71 years old, and he came here to the madrasa and he wanted to become a Muslim on a reason that he says that normally the people, they put their body into the mortuary, and he didn't want his body to be put in a mortuary. The people told him that only the Muslim people, they bury you immediately. So he came here. Alhamdulillah, after he accepted the Islam, accepted the kalima, and I was teaching him, I said, recite behind me, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I think he must have recited 15 or 20 times this kalima behind me. And thereafter, what he says, now I came to realize that all the time I was in darkness. Now can a person imagine a person coming from kufr in darkness, reciting kalima just 15, 20 times. And when that nur came into his heart, he says, now I came to realize that all the time I was in darkness. Can a person realize what Allah Pak has blessed us with? Allahumma aftah kwaala kulubina bi zikrik. Nabi Islam's dua also is here. That Ya Allah, open the locks of my heart with this kalima also. This kalima looks very, very simple. But can a person in mind when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ask Allah, Ya Allah, give me something to make your zikr. But Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, recite kalima la ilaha illallah. Ya Allah, this is so common, everybody is reciting it. Allah Pak told him what? He said, oh Musa, if you take the whole seven skies and the seven earths and put it together on the one side of the scale, and you put the kalima on the other side of the scale, this kalima will outweigh everything. So this kalima looks so simple, but what is hindered in that kalima? You have to decode those things that is hidden inside that kalima. Wallah, if Allah can open our hearts and open those locks on our hearts and He makes us realize what are the hidden treasures that Allah has kept in that kalima, then you can make shukr till your life, till mort. This Allah, you feel from the asman till the earth, small grains of sand. And on every grain of sand, I say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You will not be able to fulfill the haqq of that kalima. But Allah Pak has blessed us. Yes. So this haqqiqat has got to be opened up. Now those people who has reached that stage where Allah Pak has opened their heart, like our Hazrat Daman Barakatuh, must make shukr that Allah Pak has connected us with Him. Yes. That's why we must always realize that this zikr has got to be them also. To have the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the things a person has got to bring is khidmat. Khidmat is a quality a person also has got to bring in his life also. Always our ulama says, Hazrat also Daman Barakatuh mentions, Ibadat se jannat milte hai, khidmat se khuda milte hai. What is khidmat? Khidmat is a quality. When a person does khidmat, it creates a quality of humbleness in a person's life also. Khidmat is a thing that brings a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khidmat, you find, is a thing which sometimes we do not realize the value of it. The time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was hungry also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have any food for him. He made a land that, who's prepared to take this person to my house? One sahabi radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll take him to. He took him to his house. He asked the wife, is there any food? There's a little bit of food for the children left, but nothing else besides. Say, we'll put the children to sleep. Whatever food that is left, we'll give it for the mehman. And when as the time of eating comes there, we'll put the light off so that the mehman must eat, but we can, the family must stay hungry. After the khidmat part, Allah Pak specifically revealed the ayat of the Quran appreciating that act of making khidmat. Can a person imagine what is khidmat also? In India, there was one person that he was making khidmat of a small madrasa. Every lunchtime, he used to give them one meal, as well off person. So the children, alhamdulillah, they used to have their meal. So it one day it so happened that he got late, and he used to always bring the food on a buffalo cart. Buffalo in India, I think they call him a bell. So one day when he came late, so all the students waiting, and you find that there was no food there. They're all shouting, "Bell ayah nahi hai, khana nahi hai, bell ayah nahi hai, khana nahi hai." "Oh, there's no food today, this person hasn't brought any food for us." Some of the boys went to go and sleep. Other boys, they started playing a little bit outside. About half an hour, three quarter of a little bit later, yeah, the person is coming with the buffalo cart with the food now. And as he is coming, those boys are outside. Now they're shouting, "Hey, bel ara hai, khana ara hai, bel ara hai, khana ara hai." So that person overheard that I am feeding these people and they're calling me a funny name like bel. Now he was very, very heart sore about the whole thing also then. Alright, he gave them the food also. And after giving the food, he made intention, "Okay, now I'm not going to give them any more food. They're calling me funny names. You stop giving." The 1-2 weeks, he didn't give any food to that person. Since one day, the dream, that it is a day of Qiyamah, and all the students are crossing the pool Sirat, and they're shouting here, "Kaha hai hamara behl, usko bhi saath le jana hai, kaha hai hamara behl, usko bhi saath le jana hai." And his eyes open up, and he says, "Ya Allah, these people, they're calling me behl, but they are going to take me across pool Sirat. Let me start making their khidmat again." Khidmat, what is khidmat, my respected brothers? In India, there was once, in those days, you find that people used to get knowledge in a masjid. That few students there, and Ustad also used to be sleeping in a masjid also there. And sometimes when it gets very, very cold, there was no time that time that they had any hot water system or anything of that also there. They had to make their wudu in cold water also there. So one of the students that was in a madrasa, I was learning by him, you find that my Ustad gets up for tahajjud namaz and makes wudu with cold water, and he's making his namaz. He says, "No, this is not, I can't take it." What he did, he bought a lota and he filled it with water at night time, and he used to keep it by his stomach and cover it with his blanket, and he used to sleep for the whole night. And he realizes the moment he sees my Ustad is getting up for tahajjud namaz and performing, he says, "Hazrat, here's water for you to make wudu." In a few years, he started making khidmat of his Ustad in that way. Afterwards, he says, "If I can say it openly, if I have to spend my whole life studying the kitabs and deen, I will not get the understanding which Allah Pak has blessed us because of making khidmat, the nur that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way also. This is comes with khidmat also. One great Shaykh al-Hadith also speaking great kitab, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim in the Darul Ulum there also there. You find that in those days in summer when it gets in the Delhi area, very, very hot also, 45, 50 degrees there. That time they haven't got any fridges, or like today they have got fridges there. People had to buy ice to make water cold. Most of the poor people had to sit sometime lunchtime under the shade of the tree or under somewhere around there, and they had to take water from the tap, and that water also is warm water, hot water also, how you drink it also. So this Maulana, what he did is he bought one bucket and filled it up with water every day, and he bought a block of ice, he put it in the ice, make the water nice and cold, and after the Zohar time he comes and go with that bucket, with a mug in his hand, and going all those people, whether they are Muslim or not Muslims, and he give them water to drink, everyone water to drink. And afterwards when he come back into the masjid, and he says, he makes 2 rakat of namaz of salat of shukr, he says, "Ya Allah, it is not only with our fadl and karam that you have given me tawfiq to make khidmat of your Muslim. Ya Allah, accept it from me also." This is what a person has got to understand. What is khidmat in reality? Khidmat has got to be done. A person must be sincerity, must have sincerity in your life, that I'm only doing it not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to create muhabbat. Sincerely, especially when a person comes back to a buzurganadin and we want to have the want to make the khidmat of our sheikh, then first thing a person must be is to create that muhabbat of the sheikh, not pleasure of Allah. Muhabbat. Once the muhabbat comes in the sheikh, now you can go further. Number two, when a person is connected to a buzurganadin, our blood pressure time must be the same thing also. For instance, if a person is sick, and you find that your blood category is supposed A, and you find you giving a blood of transfusion of a different number, O or some other number, whatever it is not going to work because it's on a different A also. So a person has got to see that you're on the same. So when a person, you have to find out that you're on the same level, alhamdulillah, you connect yourself with such a person also there. Then the third thing is that a person must know how to make khidmat also there. So never ever make khidma just by force also. Just see that my Hazrat gives you permission. First ask permission before you. Like many times students, sometimes they come to me, sometimes their ulama also, they come as an ulama, come and pray just like that, or say, making your khidmat, I'm making your khidmat. But suppose if I've got a boil on my hand, and you start pressing my body, you're making khidmat, I'm going to give him duas, I'm giving him badwas. So you have to realize sometimes what a person is going to do. So take permission first of all. Also when a person wants to make khidmat, also you see mashayikhs always want that, because they make so much of mutala, so much of effort, so their minds becomes dry also. They want people must massage their head also. If a person doesn't know how to massage their head, then you want to go and massage, and you will make a big mess also there. Then you want sort of it. So first of all, you've got to see how people making massage, and then when you get a permission, then you start doing the things also. So once a person gets, the dua is that thing that a person must get from the Hazrat Daman Barakatuh. When a person gets that dua will take you far in right towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So khidmat is a quality very, very mubarak also there. You find in a place where there is water plentiful also there, and you find that a person gives somebody one glass of water to drink, to get the reward of putting a slave free. What a great reward it is. And it is said when a person gives that water at a place there is no water, or where is water is very, very difficult to get, and you give somebody water, then the reward is as if a person is reviving a dead person, giving him life again also. What a great ibadat also there. See, sometimes with khidmat, what a person realizes, sometimes in Darul Uloom Shehriya, they say, what is the price of a bag of salt? A packet of salt, for instance. If a person takes a packet of salt, costs you 5 rand. A packet of salt costs you 10 rand. And suppose you give it to a madrasa, you give it to the madrasa. See, when you cook some, there's a packet of salt, use it for the madrasa here. Or you use it for the khanka here. You have given 5 rand, 10 rand as sort of either. But remember that salt is going to be used in that pot. Every time it's been used in that pot where they're going to use the tarkari. Now, as if you are going to feed that whole people with food also there. So those people who are going to eat from that food, for 40 days, their ibadat, their zikrullah, their tilawat of Quran, their learning deen, making effort for deen, whatever their good deeds are going to be done, you benefit yourself by setting and 5 rand. How much of sacrifice are we making from ourselves? Little bit of a person gives a whole bag of salt, how much reward a person can get? We do not realize sometimes how reward can be given. Allah Pak gives us these opportunities. So khidmat is a thing a person must try, see that how a person can and calculate the khidmat. Khidmat is such a quality that it is said when a person has got parents there, a person who looks at the parent with muhabbat and with love, that is my father and this is my mother, Allah gives the reward of a maqbul hajj and umrah. But when a person makes khidmat, Allahu Akbar. Now, that means when the parents are in a stage where they cannot look after themselves, you got to feed them sometimes, you got to clothe them and sometimes, you got to bathe them sometimes, you got to take them around where they want to sometimes go also with difficulty, doctors, whatever it is. You're making your qurbani, sacrificing for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the taqdeer of that person, taqdeer which is fixed, which Allah Pak has decided when a child is being born, that he's going to stay for 50 years or 60 years, that is your time being there. An amount of rozi also is being fixed. But when a person makes khidmat, Allah changes that taqdeer for him. Because taqdeer is also under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah does now, Allah is going to give him longer life to live in the dunya also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him opportunity to increase in his rozi. Today everybody wants improvement in his rosy. This is the opportunities we are today. Today people don't want to look at our old parents also there. We don't want to make khidmat of the parents also there. We not realize what we are dealing with, who our parents are also there. And that happiness in the heart of the parent is the thing that brings you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What our parents are. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the pleasure of the parent is the pleasure of Allah, and the displeasure of the parent is the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who's happy with Allah, the parents are happy with the child, Allah is happy. Once Allah is happy, your akhirat is made, alhamdulillah. Just imagine on small little things. But if Allah, the parents are not happy with you, then that person will have to go to the fire of Jannah before he can enter into Jannah. Allah save us from this type of things also. You find that Sheikh Hazrat Uwais Karni rahmatullah alayh, great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he didn't get the opportunity to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam face to face, but he seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how many times, maybe in a dream also. He had a very close contact with the muhabbat with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he had great taluk with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and he was mustajabud dawa also for that matter also. Do you find always Karmi Nahmatullah Alayhi? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that whenever you meet always Karmi Nahmatullah, ask him for duas. Ask him for duas. So once before the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his shawl, was it a shawl or was it his jubba, whatever, may Allah forgive me. And he says, when you go and meet always Karni, give him this, he said, it is from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ask him for duas. Just imagine, ask him for duas. So when they went to go and meet him, the first, with difficulty, they managed to find who it was. Then discussed, started talking to one another, and then he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given this as a hadiah for you, and you must make dua for the ummah also. First of all, he tried to show his humbleness, to evade not to make the dua. But afterwards, when he was making dua, he said, you people stand here one side here. And he said, went a little bit away, he fell down and he made in sijda, and he went made dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He got up, the voice come and tell him, Allah Pak has seven, so much thousands of people of the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been forgiven. He went back into the sijda and he says, Ya Allah, still not, I will not put on this cloak which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has sent it unless Allah doesn't forgive the ummah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He get up from there and he sees again the word comes there, the voice telling him that the amount of hair that is on the sheep or the goats of a certain two people, so much of people's Allah Pak has forgiven them also. And then in the meantime, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and I think Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu with him, they went closer to God. He said, but now why did you come here now closer? See, if you should not have come, I should not have put on and carry on making dua until the whole ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should have been forgiven. So this is what itaat also is, that here Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, just because he told them to stay and they went to go a little bit forward, didn't see that one small act and see that Mr. Jabbar Dawad Dawa, he didn't want to carry on for it. Then Nabi Hazrat Urwais Karni rahmatullah, what he mentioned, he said that Allahumma fil yahiyan, Allahumma fil yahiyan, mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat. This dua is for those people who will die with iman. My dua will carry on with those people also. But your condition on the dunya is that you have to see that you die with iman. So Allah give us first of all meet of tawfiq. Allah give us everybody of tawfiq of making amal on what I have said. Inshallah, I've got Mawlana Musa here. He'll carry on giving us some more advices. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العلي العظيم. So now we're starting off the one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These days it's very hot, so the dua, the sunnah dua, and it's extremely hot day. As we mentioned before many times also, are we reading it? Must make amal upon it. La ilaha illallah, لا إله إلا الله ما أشد حر هذا اليوم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من حر نار جهنم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من حر نار جهنم لا إله إلا الله. All conditions comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. The heat comes from Allah, cold comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, rain comes from Allah Taala. Any conditions comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And ما أشد حر هذا اليوم, how intense is the heat of this day? Oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, protect me from the fire of Jahannam. From here we learn that a believer, his mind always goes towards Akhirat. His mind always, in everything in this world, he looks at with a different gaze. Kafir also sees and a believer also sees. But the believer sees differently. If for example, it's a very hot day. Or in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, نَحْنُ جَعَلْنَاهَا تَذْكِرَةً وَمَتَاعًا لِلْمُقْوِينَ. We have created fire. And fire, Allah Ta'ala says, we have created it as mata'an. Mata'an means as for usage. You're going to use it to boil your, to heat your food. You're going to use it to, in today's time not much, we don't really see it. But we are actually using fire also. When we are putting on our stove, fire is coming there. So that fire, Allah Ta'ala says, it's mata'an. It's for usage. But first Allah Ta'ala says, نَحْنُ جَعَلْنَاهَا تَذْكِرَةً. It's nasihat, advice for you. Take fire as advice for you first, before your usage. So usage is secondary. First thing is, it is nasihat. What nasihat? The Mufassirin say, that you must think of the fire of Jahannam. Whenever you see a fire in this world, think of the fire of Jahannam. You see an extremely hot day, you think, a believer will think, the day of Qiyamah. So hot. The sun will be just above our heads. Yeah, 35-40 degrees, we're suffering so much. The sun is right above our heads. If it's an extremely cold day, then also there's one place in Jahannam called Zamharir, extremely cold place. Person must think about that. Or think about in the qabr, cold, icy cold place. When it's dark now, person is sleeping at night, or sometimes the day also, you see darkness coming in. It's so dark, you can't see anything at all. Think of the darkness of the qabr. If it's raining also on the day of Qiyamah, when every person has passed away, and we go into the grave, our bodies disintegrate, besides some people. There's one part of our body called Ajabud Dhamb. It's in the back part of our body, like how animals have got tails. So we also got a small tail. It's a bone. And this bone, nobody ever gets destroyed. Stays in the qabr. And on the day of Qiyamah, from that bone, the rain will come down. There will be a rain. And like how you get a seed in the ground. When you plant a seed, but the seed grows slowly. After 1 year, you see the whole tree coming out of the plant. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't need 1 year for a seed to grow. If Allah Ta'ala wants, like how one night you get some plants, one night the rains, and you see the next day the plants are already out. So if 1 minute, Allah Ta'ala can also do that. 1 minute. So when on the day of Qiyamah, when we all pass away, the rain will come down. As soon as the rain comes down, it goes into the ground, and then all the human beings will start growing out, coming out from the ground. And around that Ajabud Dham, that small bone of theirs, the whole body will be formed. So when a person sees rain coming down, he can ponder about Akhirat, the day of Qiyamah, when you will all be standing up. A cold day a person can ponder, a hot day a person can ponder. If a person is in the night time, he can ponder. If a person is in the daytime, the heat, very hot day, you can ponder. Even the ulama have mentioned, Idris Kandalevi rahmatullahi, that in the morning time, after Fajr Salat, and just before the sun rises, that time, it's a very, very wonderful time. If a person takes a walk, it's very, very healthy for a person, very beneficial. There's no sun also, but it's light. You see, this is the example of the people in Jannah. But there won't be any sun, but there'll be light. Allah Ta'ala has given us one example of Jannah in this world, so that we can see exactly how it'll be in Jannah. There won't be any sun there in Jannah, but there'll be light. So a person can ponder about that. So everything in life we go through, a person must ponder. His mind must go towards Akhirat, towards the hereafter. We are taught this in the dua also of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we are making a journey, we read the long dua, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. We are making a journey of this world. And at the end of the dua, we are taught, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. This is a small journey of this world, but we are returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the long journey we are going to be making. So immediately a person is pondering of Akhirat. When we go to sleep at night, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, I'm dying. So a person is thinking of death. How does a person sleep? He sleeps on his right hand side, cheek under, same like how a person sleeps in the qabr, in the grave. So all of these things are supposed to be reminding a believer, but our eyes of the heart have to open up in the company of Mashaykh Buzrugan Nidin. Then a person will see everything in this world, but in a different way. So much so the ulama have mentioned, example, if you are sitting now and eating food, lovely food, wonderful food, delicious food, and Allah, you know, we are because we are very, very weak, Allah has made it so easy for us. The people in the past, poverty was common amongst them. We don't know what poverty is. And not very long ago. And still today in the world, about 50% of the world's population go through poverty. Here in South Africa, it's across our road here. The workers in it. Sometimes they say at night there's no food for them. They don't have night food. Their children cry and they sleep away. And the next day they wake up, whatever food they got. And Allah has given us what and what ni'mat. Really, may Allah make it protect us from being istidraj. Allah has given us chance and rope. It will be a means of our destruction in the year after. But what ni'mat Allah has given us in this world. And because we are very, very weak. So inshallah we take it as a good omen. But Allah is showing us the bounties of Jannah in this world. And in the year after He's going to give us much, much more inshallah. So when a person looks at that lovely food, wonderful food, with izzat and honor He's given that food, a person thinks of Jannah. What inner honor, what izzat, what respect a person will get in Jannah. And the types of foods a person gets in this world. Subhanallah, what and what kinds of foods. And a person must think about Jannah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned one of the benefits of why a person has nikah in this world, getting married and having relations with his wife. He said two reasons. One reason is for the human being, race must continue. And he says the other thing is a person who gets a taste of the enjoyment of Jannah. So he gets shock and raghbat and desire for Jannah. So similarly, a person is eating lovely food, a person is going somewhere and he's seeing a beautiful scenery, immediately his mind must go towards Akhirat, towards Jannah. And Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah has mentioned that why did Allah Ta'ala create scorpions in this world? That mosquitoes, the whole night they're troubling you. So there's a reason for that. My banda and my servant in this world, you can't the whole night you complain about that one mosquito, giving one small bite, and you hitting yourself, and you hitting your wife also mistakenly. Yeah, you're trying to kill that mosquito, and the thing is not helping in the least, but the fly is irritating you. You're coming there, sitting there, you're chasing it away. It's coming back after 5 minutes again, it's sitting on you. And how it troubles a person, Allah is reminding us. That fly, in the cover, there's all these flies, there's scorpions, there's snakes, there's mosquitoes. You can't manage the small, small things. You're getting so much of parashani, and you got your sprays, and you're trying to sit in that mosquito net, and two of the three mosquitoes are sitting with you inside, relaxing there, waiting for the night time for it to come and bite you. So, and you, this is the examples for us to take lessons. So in all of these things, we only think now we're swearing the mosquito the whole night. But why did Allah Ta'ala create that mosquito? There's a reason for it, to remind us of akhirat. So if as a believer we take lessons from all of these things, inshallah, then everything in life will look different for a person. Your wife is troubling you, think of Jahannam. See, this is one azab of Jahannam. See, and when you're sitting and enjoying yourself with your wife, and then a person thinks this is a bounty of Jannah. So in everything a person, he must ponder about akhirat. May Allah give myself firstly, and all of us the reality, that how Allah can open our eyes of the heart. So similarly the heat, don't complain about it, but think of the dua, read the dua. And think now, have I prepared such a'mal and actions which will save me from the heat of the day of Qiyamah? But there's so many hadith, about 70 things which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, by which a person will be saved. The Shaykh Rahmatullah has mentioned about 70 things by which a person will be saved from the punishment of the qabr. So these, if not all of them, but at least a few of them, are we doing in our life so that we can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. A person must ponder about these things. So may Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq. Ajitab was mentioning about Iman. The most valuable thing is Iman. So Iman is such a valuable thing. I went to my Ustad, Ismail Qatrari Sahib, met him, and so he was giving us some advices. So he was mentioning to us, at the time of death, all a person's, every part of his body, it comes to an end, it terminates. It doesn't work at the time of death, just before a person passes away. Actually, how it is, a person's soul can start coming out from the body, from the legs. The soul is actually in the whole body of a person. Like you've got a head, you've got hands, everything is like part of our body. And when the soul comes out, like a whole human being is coming out from us. It comes out. That's why from every part of the body that soul comes out. So now that soul, it normally comes out from the feet. It comes out, and it comes up. While it's coming up, so all the parts of the body start getting colder now. So the legs surface get cold, then you come, you can feel actually it's getting cold. Comes up. But the last part is the person's head. So when it's going up now, the eyes can actually see the soul coming out. So the Hadith Sharif got, when the ruh is taken, tabi'ahul basar, the eyes follow it. So a person's eyes now, he looks up and he sees what's flying out of me. And his whole body is going out, another body from inside him is coming out. So his eyes go back always. That is why when a person passes away, you'll find his eyes are normally looking up, because he was trying to see what's going out. And now because the soul went out of that part, the eyes can't close again, and they can't come back down again. So then a person normally, we must cover the eyes quickly, because once the body becomes cold, then you can't even close the eyes. It looks very, very frightening. So he said that all the parts of a person's body comes to an end. Your hands come to an end, your eyes comes to an end, your ears comes to an end, everything. Only one portion of the body remains alive, and that is the heart of a person. And whatever is in the heart of a person at the time of death comes out. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي السُّدُورَ was it always mentioned? Whatever is in the heart of a person, this will be taken out at that time. On the day of Qiyamah also, and in the grave also, and in this world also, at that time when a person is leaving this world, whatever is in the heart of a person, that comes out. It is made apparent. So he was mentioning to us, he said this one incident he saw himself, which Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned very beautifully in his poem here. The poem is, کسی خاکی پر مت خاک اپنی زندگانی کو دے جوانی جس نے دی جوانی کو He said, do not waste your life on something. کسی خاکی پر مت خاک اپنی زندگانی کو Do not waste your life which is made of sand on sand. دے جوانی جس نے دی جوانی کو Give your youth and your life to that being who has given you life. That is, if you are wasting your life on sand, it's going to come back to sand again. There's no benefit, because you are giving that life of sand to sand. But give that life of sand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Hayyun Qayyum, who is living forever and forever. So now you're joining up your life to something which has got life in it. So inshallah, your life will remain forever. Example, a person has got a plug, he's got a fan, he takes it in a plug socket, and the plug socket is dead. There's no electricity coming through. So you've taken a plug and you place it in a socket which is dead. So is there any electricity going to come through?
It's something dead, so nothing is going to come through. It's completely dead. But that if there's life going through there, life, there's a current going through, and you place a plug inside there, what will happen? The thing will start working immediately. Our lives are made of sand. If you give your life to sand, then you are destroying yourself. That because that thing is dead also. And your life is joining to something dead. So dead plus dead is equal to dead. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving forever and forever. If you join your life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is loving forever and forever, you will become alive forever and forever. Allah ta'ala will give you a life. As Abu Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi say, give Allah ta'ala half your life, Allah ta'ala will give you 100 lives in return. So everything in this world is made of sand. And our body needs, because our body is made of sand, our body needs sand things. Our houses are made of sand. Our cars are made of sand. There is steel, but steel comes from the ground, which is made of sand. The food we are eating is of sand. The food we eat is vegetables, it's from sand. Fruits, from the sand. Animals, they also, the food they eat is also from the sand. So they are also made up from the sand. So all of the things in the world which we have got is made of sand. So if you're connecting yourself to your shop, it's made of sand. You're connecting yourself to your house, it's made of sand. You're connecting yourself to one woman, it's made of sand. So anything you are connecting to sand, you're going to destroy yourself. But you connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is loving forever and forever, then inshallah you will live forever and forever. Allah will give you life in this dunya also. Allah will give you life in the qabr also. Allah will give you life in the year after. We saw Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah at the old age, 70, 80, 85, how like his heart was still alive. And how like a young person he was. Because he had given his youth to Allah ta'ala, Allah kept him. Like he was still used to joke like a youngster. The way he used to speak like a youngster also. His body had become old, but his heart was still young. Another person who had no connection with Quran Sharif. This is why it comes in the hadith. Whoever reads a lot of Quran Sharif when he is young, he won't suffer from ardhal umr. A person's mind goes away when he's in the old age. He can't think properly. We saw Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi in the madrasa. Part of his life, just before he passed away. But he was still giving fatwas. They were asking him questions. Then he was joking also. And Mufti Sahib had a ajib way of giving jawab. He never has to give a straightforward answer. He'll give her like this way and that way. So you don't know at the end of the day what the answer also. Because in a public place, he never used to give, like to give straightforward answers. Because people use it in the wrong way. But he had his style. But at that age, just before he passed away also, his mind was fresh. Because why? Ta'alluq with Quran Sharif. Ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah keeps that person alive. So anyhow, Musab was mentioning to us the story. He said, this I saw, a witness firsthand. I went to one person who was about to pass away. He was in Sakarat. And he says that his legs became cold. And we could actually, you can feel now that the soul is coming out. And the soul came out of the body. Because the doctor was there, and the doctor said like he passed away. Either there was machines there, or the doctor said he passed away. And then the soul came back in the person again. And the second time again the soul went out, and again it came back in. Third time again it went out, came in. Fourth time it went out, it came in. He's not passing away. They're thinking he passed away. Then the doctor, you see, Morana, what's happening? I don't understand. So Morana said, he also, I don't understand myself also. So then Morana said, then his wife understood it. What was wrong here? So she went to the room, another room. And she brought a gold coin. This man had a lot of money. He had a lot of love for money. She brought the gold coin to him. And she just brought it and placed it by his heart. The minute she placed it, he felt the coolness of that coin. His soul came out of his body. Because of the love of money. So whatever is in the heart of a person, at that moment he gets that enjoyment within there. As Al-Hakim Al-Mutani rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, that there was one person, he had fallen in love with a woman. And the love of the woman was entrenched in his heart. A lot of love for her. So now at the time of death, people told him, you know what, make tawbah from your sins. So he says, I make tawbah from all sins, but the love of that one woman. I can't make tawbah from that. Because the love of that woman has overpowered me. And oh Allah, I love you, but I love that woman more than you. These are words of kufr. And in this way he passed away. So that woman's love was in that person's heart. So at the time of death, that's where his heart went to. Another person, this one doctor has written a kitab about many people, at the time of their mort, the different conditions he had seen different people. So one person he mentions, he says that this one person, he writes that I'm a doctor in hospital, a tablighi person. Mashallah, he spent a lot of time in Jamaat and so he's given a very beautiful explanation of this different waqiyat and incidents. So he says there was one person, once I did a survey of 100 people, 100 patients in my hospital, and from them only 3 of them were able to recite the kalima. 97 of them, they could not recite the kalima at the time of death. Every one of them had some worldly thing. One person was a lawyer, he's speaking about his business. Another person, he had got different things he says, and he mentioned some of them. One person is bull. That was the most important thing at the time of death, he's speaking about his bull. Then, so he says that one person, he was a hafiz of Quran, and I went past him. Actually, I saw he was sitting and listening to music. Tell my friend, you know what, you are very sick, you have a terminal illness, why don't you read Quran? You know how to read Quran. Because me in Pakistan, that many people don't know how to read Quran. So he said, no, what, I'm a hafiz of Quran. He got a bigger shock. He said, you're a hafiz of Quran, and you're listening to music. He said, no, I read Quran also, I listen to music also. So he said, tell me, what you got more liking for? You like your Quran more, or you like your music more? So he said, no, actually I prefer listening to music. So he said, a few days later, he passed away, and the music was coming out on his tongue, and he was singing songs. So because that was the dominant thing in his heart. He says, from all the people which I saw suffering the most in the hospital, there was one youngster who came, and he was extremely bad, in a, what a condition. He was screaming so loud, I could see actually the veins coming out from his throat, and his face was changing color, and he was going through extreme difficulty. He was screaming so loud, we eventually had to move him because the other patients in the hospital couldn't sleep. Such severe pain he was going through. So then I said, let me find out what was wrong with him. We took him to another place. After 2 or 3 days suffering so much, his father came, saying, you know what, please doctor, give my son this, it's called mercy killings, it's euthanasia, give him an injection, he dies, so at least he doesn't suffer. So the doctor explained to him that, you know, in Islam it's not permissible to take a person's life, it's haram. But he says, tell me, what action did your son do in life that is getting such a severe punishment? I've never seen a person suffering so much in this world, like how I can see him suffering. So he said that, doctor, you know, my son had one very, very bad quality in him, that he used to go home by his wife, and his wife used to tell him many stories about his mother. So then he used to come and beat his mother, hit his mother. And I used to always stop him and tell him that don't ever hit your mother, you are doing a very great zulm and oppression. But he never used to listen to me, he used to continuously hit his mother. So because of this, I can see this is the punishment he's getting in this world. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, if you want punishment in this world, making zulm upon other people, you oppress other people, and your parents, destroying the rights of your parents, that's the punishment will come for a person in this world. And so, and obviously, the woman has got a right also. Sometimes the mother-in-law troubles her also. There's two sides of the story. But a son has got no right to go and hit his mother, to take off with his mother, to sway his mother, to use verbal abuse on his mother. They say this, the mother and the wife and the mother-in-law is like pool sirat in this world. If you fall this way, is jahannam. If you fall that way, is jahannam. You have to stay in the middle line there. Is it? So the best thing is when you've got a wife, you tell her what you think is right. Mother, my mother is like that. You must make old people like that. You have to overlook them. And but what you think is right. And I also agree with you. But how am I going to tell my mother? Is my mother have to look after her and respect her? And you go to your mother, that woman, you know, she's young, nadan, she doesn't know much. You know, what you're saying is right. But just have to overlook her now. I will teach her. I teach her at home. How many times I'm telling her at home, but she hasn't still got this in her mind. A person has to live in this way, yeah. But both of them, and make a lot of dua also. Allah Ta'ala must keep them muhabbat. Today, unfortunately, many marriages are breaking off because of this. The mother is saying, I'm jealous. The mother becomes jealous actually of her son when his son gets married. Why you got your son married in the first place? You should carry on looking after him. Son has to get married, the mother must learn how to let go of the son also, because he must live his own life also. There are many mothers who are very possessive, and then they tell the husband. Some mothers told the husband, it's either me or it's your wife, you must choose. And husband, they sometimes have to actually break off the nikah with their wives because of their mothers, and some of them stay with the wives and then left the mothers on the other side, which is also completely wrong. Person has got, he has to fulfill hukuk both sides. They are the rights of the wife, they are the rights of the mother also. Both of them a person has to fulfill. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that the iman, this valuable thing, our Hazrat Hakim, Hazrat Muhammad Rahmeet Sahib Dhamma Barakatum always mentions this example of a parrot. Musa Palampuri Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that the parrot, you can teach it the best nizams, you can teach it the best tilawat of Quran, and it's reading the best, and how it's reading, with what tune, and the style it is reading. But that iman hasn't come in the heart of the parrot. It's not in the heart, it's just lip service. So our iman also mustn't be lip service. And when the cat came, and the cage was left open, and the cat was about to catch the parrot at that time forgot all his nizams, forgot la ilaha illallah, it forgot his zikr, his tilawat of Quran. At that time, the original voice of the parrot, te, 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 this comes out from the parrot's mouth at the time of death. So we also, it must not be that our iman is on our lips only. It's not in the recesses of our heart. When the iman must come into the recesses of a person's heart, and as our Hazrat mentions, that when a person puts a gun to your head also, at that time what happens? We go blank. Sometimes the gun is also blank, but our minds, we go blank also. We can't think of anything at all. But at that time a person, he must have such iman in him, that as soon as the gun comes there, he's La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The car person is involved in an accident and the car is turning over. The person immediately, his mind goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How one of our stars was telling us, he says that he was going on an aeroplane and the pilot told him that, you know what, I think we're going to crash now. The wheels are not coming out. He says, first time in my life my wife asked me for maaf. Now everybody's shocked. And a believer at least at that time thinks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his reen kalima, whatever they're there. And the whole people would start screaming, everyone was quiet, everyone is just like him. And he said the plane crashed, it hit the ground. And then after that plane hit the ground, then the scream started after the whole, and everyone was run out of the plane. Even if it's not going to make any difference. But at that time a person now is a mind, where does a person's mind go? Does it go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it go towards nothing? It becomes blank. A person has to make so much of effort. And I was mentioned also once that we are so weak, our iman, when we see a beautiful woman, and that does our mind go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is watching me. This is what zikr of Allah ta'ala is supposed to create in a person. At every moment, the zikr we are making for 10 minutes is like a person who has got, in the old days we used to have these watches where a person winds it in the day for 2 minutes, he winds the watch, and then the whole day it works 24 hours. So similarly, we have to make the zikr in the morning, but that's not just for 10 minutes. That 10 minutes is supposed to last us the whole day. Supposed to be benefit a person the whole day. So the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, another less important lesson we learned from you also, pabandi, continuousness. If every day you clean your house, now we came back after the holiday to our house, all the dust is in the house, dirt in the house, you go in the house, there's a different smell there also, because it's dusty now. Just 10 days you go out of the house, but every day before that we're cleaning the house. But just 10 days you leave it, and the house becomes dusty. So similarly, our iman, it can't be that, you know, I've been making zikr for the past 5 years, so now I'm okay. One day you leave it out, you'll immediately start seeing a decrease. The second day you leave it out, you become less, then you become weak eventually. So the zikr, tilawat of Quran, doesn't mean now it's holiday, we can rest, take it easy. Actually, in holidays you must double our zikr, double our tilawat of Quran, you've got more time. So then the person now, because at that time there's more fitness, more evils, so now he becomes more stronger. So may Allah grant all of us that this reality of iman, actually we're supposed to, Hazrat Rakim Sahab's point he mentioned here, but anyhow, Hazrat Rakim Sahab rahmatullah has mentioned 7 ways of protecting one's iman. We'll just mention the points that how can a person look after his iman. The 7 prescriptions, remember 6 now. One is dua. Every day recite the dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. It's a famous dua. O Allah Ta'ala, do not turn our hearts away from hidayat after having granted us this gift of iman. Innaka antal wahhab, you are the greatest giver of gifts. So Allah Ta'ala, keep us steadfast in iman. That's number 1. Number 2, daily make shukr of our iman. This is actually a prescription of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Now Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, whatever you want in life, he said, if you want to pass away with iman, make shukr of iman every day, Allah will let you leave this world with iman. And Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, whenever I learn one masala in deen, anything I learned in deen, I always make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Allah increase my knowledge. That's why his knowledge, Allah gave him such acceptance of his shukr. Hazrat mentioned so in this holiday also, Safar, he mentioned to us about shukr and a lot of emphasis. And he says, in his opinion, there are 2 things by which a person will go very, very far in life. One is tawazu and one is shukr. And he spoke great in depth about shukr. May Allah give myself firstly the reality of it. We hear a bayan, but we take it for granted. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah is saying himself, what Allah knowledge Allah gave me was because of shukr. Every masala I learned, I made shukr to Allah Ta'ala, Allah increased me. Now, example, we learned the whole majlis, whatever we learned, I'll be making shukr. Let us all say Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we learned something. Whatever we learned, Allah will inshallah increase us in the day. So that's the second thing. Number 3, the dua after adhan. The adhan will go, then Durood Sharif, then the dua after adhan. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first Durood Sharif, and then he recite the dua after adhan. Hallat lahu shafa'ati. My sifarish will become compulsory for that person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will only make sifarish and intercede on a person, on behalf of a person who's got iman. So it's, inshallah, there's a glad tidings a person will leave this world with iman. Number 4, use the miswak in abundance. By using of miswak, Ulama have mentioned one great benefit. At the time of death, a person will recite the kalima. Number 5, a person must sit in the company of pious people. When Allah Ta'ala's special mercy comes on the pious people, then inshallah this person will also be included amongst them. So always try to stay in the company of pious people, of good people. Number 6 is that there's another dua as Rakim Sahib has mentioned. Ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Oh, the change of hearts, keep our hearts steadfast on deen. And there's one seventh one also. The moment I can't remember it, may Allah give us inshallah. Another time we remember it. That another prescription of iman. Protection of one's gazes. If you look after your gaze, because a person will get halawat iman, the sweet taste of iman. So a person who gets the sweet taste of iman, it's mentioned about him. Then inshallah, iman will never come out of his heart once Allah gives the person the gift, unless he himself throws it out of his heart. Allah Ta'ala won't take it out. So inshallah, if a person looks after his gaze, he'll leave this world with iman. So these seven easy prescriptions, even a few of them we do. The more we do, the better for us. But at least start bringing them into our lives. Shukr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, ni'mat of iman. And the du'as, two du'as. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Using the miswak, reciting the du'a after adhan, staying in the company of pious people, and looking after a person's cases. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني يذكركم دل میرا ہو جا ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل نہیں اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نعرہ مستانہ خوش میائے دم تا بچانا چنی می پائے دم اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانو اللہ 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 وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبَ اللہ Allah, 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 Allah. ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 Allah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك حب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.